We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Strong by Design podcast. Coach Chris Wilson here hosting today, and just absolutely delighted to have this gentleman on the other end of the conversation with us today. It was somebody that has a long history following Critical Bench, he and his wife, actually, and he has such a great story to share that falls right into our beginnings. When we started over 20 years ago, 1999, this Critical Bench was all about the bench press. It was all about strength and power lifting and getting strong. It was very, let's say one-dimensional, but that can be a good thing. And we've obviously changed quite a bit over the last couple decades, but it's fun to go back to your roots sometimes and have those conversations that are a little bit reminiscent of what things used to look like and all those passions and things that helped move the needle, really, and get things going. You know, you got to start somewhere. And so our guest today, John Self, is a power lifter. He's a dad. He's a husband. He has a strong faith in the Lord, and he's just an all around kick butt type of guy who couldn't be defeated, even when it was looking like he was not that long ago. And he has a fantastic testimonial to share today, and I'm excited to just get to know him better in this conversation and to be able to share it with all of our great listeners. And I want to just take a quick second before John and I get rolling here to say, number one, thank you for choosing the Strong by Design podcast. We know with all the different shows that are out there, some really great ones, because we podcast with other podcasters all the time. There's so much good stuff out there, great conversations happening, and we appreciate you selecting our show, picking our show, and coming back to listen again. And if you're a new listener, welcome. You're in for a real treat today. If you love lifting, if you love comeback stories, that's what you're going to get today. So thank you so much. And if you would, at the end of this episode, if it touched you, if it moved you, if it just, you know, made you feel like you just watched Rocky or something like that, hit that 5 stars and give us a review. We'd greatly appreciate your feedback on how this episode changed you in some way. So our guest today, John Self, welcome, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I'm excited. You know, you reached out, a week or two ago? Yeah. It was only a week ago, actually.
Yeah.
And you had shared with me in probably about 7 or 8 sentences what your life's looked like for the last few years here, last several years, actually. And it was absolutely an inspiring testimonial, and I love it. I love people that are willing to put themselves out there and reach out to us to share something that is very powerful and that could really help people who are maybe where you were some years ago, and it could help them kind of come back from where they're at. So if you would, take a few minutes, John, and just share some of your backstory for our listeners.
Well, it was 2016? 5 years ago or 6 years ago?
Yeah, five years ago.
So 5 years ago, I ripped my pec really bad. Not off the bone, but right in half of the muscle, which they say is worse to rip the muscle and not off the bone because they can reattach it back on the bone. So before that, I was powerlifting and my wife was powerlifting. And I had set some records in the 100% raw federation, but I lifted in all kinds of federations. But I had set a world record in bench press. And every meet I'd go to, I would always just open with double bodyweight bench. And I knew to bench press double your body weight, especially drug free, is good. But I kind of was taking it for granted. So for years and years and years, that's how I, every night in the gym, would be benching over, double body weight bench. So anyway, we had this competition coming up. And here's the thing you probably don't know. So the night before, when I was laying in bed, I had a thought, you're going to rip your chest. And I never, ever, ever thought like that because I was super safe, you know. And I always thought I would see it happen to guys, think, man, I would never do that. So that went in my head just for a couple seconds, and I was like, yeah, whatever. So then at the competition, I forget what I opened with. Then I did 385, and then I had 400, which shouldn't really have been a problem. And so when I was bringing 400 down, right when it was at the bottom, thankfully, I can imagine if it was up top, I felt my chest just rip like a t-shirt. And I don't know if other people could hear it, but you know, I could hear it. So it could have just been like in my head, but it just ripped, just shoo. And I have the video of it. I've never posted it, but I've watched it a few times. And you know, out loud, I'm like, daggone it, because I knew instantly what happened. And then instantly, in my mind, I remember the night before, and I'm like, whoa, why? What's this all about? And then instantly, and this could just be me thinking this, you know, just because who I am, but I'm just telling you what happened. And instantly I remember, you know, the Bible scriptures where God says, praise me in all circumstances. So, and all this happens within seconds. You know how your mind can think of this stuff, like all yes. kind of stuff real quick. So yes. I'm thinking, praise me in all circumstances. My chest just ripped. You know, and I'm laying there and people are, you know, John, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Because I'm kind of like passing out in a way. And I'm thinking, why? You know, why is this happening, God? So then instantly I think maybe this is for your son to show him, you know, here's your dad, rips his chest, and he's just going to praise God. And then instantly I think maybe it's for someone you don't know. Maybe this is going to touch them, and then they're going to become a Christian. Maybe they already are a Christian. I don't know. This is how the brain was thinking instantly. And then later, they're going to get millions of other people saved or something. So I'm thinking all this real quick. So then I just start saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's all right. Thank you, God. So I'm saying that out loud. I'm sure the guys around me are thinking, what's he thanking God for? What? He just ripped his chest. Long story short, so I have to go to the emergency room. Then I guess the day after, you know, after the doctors looked at it there, I had the specialist. I had five different doctors. All four, and three or four of them worked for the Redskins because I live near the Washington Redskins. I know they're not called Redskins no more, but the football team.
Washington football team, right?
Yeah. So, you know, they said it was a bad tear, one of the worst they've seen. One doctor got me on the phone, and how, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how stuff works. So he explained sometimes as you get older, your nervous system, you can keep staying strong, but your body and your muscles is wearing out. So sometimes as that happens with most athletes, you know, the strength and everything kind of goes into play with their body. But sometimes you're going to stay strong and then that's what happened. You lift too much weight and it rips. Okay, that was his reasoning. The other doctors told me, don't ever bench press again. You couldn't even bench press your body weight. Your ligaments are shredded like rope. Other stuff's going to break. You need new shoulders, which I had those x-rays before the accident. I need new shoulders, whatever. And I had one doctor, though, say, I'll tell you what. Start with the bar. Do it 15 to 20 times. He said, and keep going up every time you can do more than 20 to 15 reps. Just add a little bit of weight. It's kind of common sense, right? So that doctor gave me hope. And so the whole time, I'm still thinking, you know, every now and then, you know, as I'm recovering, was this supposed to happen? Was that just me laying in bed thinking I'm going to rip my chest? Or was God really telling me? And like I said, I never was scared of ripping my chest, but I wasn't reckless. So I believe it was God telling me. So I did a big Facebook post, you know, hopefully it reached somebody. And so it took about 3 years, long story short again, with the help of my lifting buddy, John Jackson. What's up, John? I got back to benching real close to double my body weight bench, which is awesome. You know, even I know we all don't listen to doctors, but even the professional said.
And how old, just so that people know who are listening, how old are you?
I'm 50. Yeah, I'm 50 years old. I'll
right.
be 51.
Yeah, so yeah, this is not right. This isn't a kid out of college here. This is right. somebody who's got some wear and tear, been lifting for a few years
yeah.
at 50 years old, and getting back to double your body weight, which is probably way less than 1% of the
yeah, I read
of
that.
Lifters yeah, at that age, you know.
Yeah, it's yeah. crazy.
Yeah, it's a super feat to do that after enduring such an injury, when 4 out of 5 doctors pretty much said bench press is really not something you should probably even think about doing ever again.
And I have this big hole in my chest. It's gross when I when I flex. And I know other guys have the same thing who've ripped their chest. It kind of looks like a pointy titty. It looks gross when you bench. It just, but it has a big fit. My whole fist can fit in it. But
yeah. So, I mean, did you instantly once it happened, right? And you know, obviously how your mind works in the moment is crazy. You're flooded with thousands of thoughts, you know, and like your recollection of that is like all of this stuff happened inside of probably 10, 20 seconds.
Right.
And obviously the road was quite long to get back to this point. But take us back to just, you know, that the moment when you do it and it's sinking in, what happened? And then just processing it, and then and take us into the injury itself in terms of how you got it fixed, and the type of pain that you were enduring.
So when I came home, I was thinking, okay, I'm done benching, and even that bench meet in my mind, because I was having back problems, I was like, I'm done competing. I'm not benching no more. My shoulders are killing me now. My back's hurting. And so even in my mind, I was like, you know, I'm still going to work out, but I'm not going to compete and have to do so much weight. And so I was already that kind of frame of mind before it happened. So then after it happened, I was like, yeah, I'm done. It wasn't a giving up thing or quitting thing. It was just me thinking, you know, I'm definitely done now. You know, this finalizes it. No more crazy bench pressing. So when I did go back to the gym, I wanted to be as healthy and as strong as I could be without the pain of training. As anyone knows out there, when you train heavy, you know, heavy, most people are going to be in pain because it's so hard on your body. So I didn't want to do that no more, but I wanted to still be strong without that hardcore training. So I started with the bar, and as I started progressing, you know, I started having thoughts in my head. Man, imagine if I could double bench press my body weight again, but have to be at a meet, at official meet. You know, that's my own way of thinking. And I started thinking, man, that would be a pretty cool witness right there. If I could do, and I didn't know if I could do it. And it took 5 years, because I think I told you in my email about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I went to a competition, and I tried going to competitions before this, but I'd hurt my wrist or I'd get sick or something always happened. So finally, after 5 years, and then with the virus, totally ruined my training, and I had to train in my basement. And to be honest, the training I do in my basement is nothing like how I train in the gym, but praise God, it worked. So long story short again, I went to a meet. I was able to break – first, I was able to double body – bench my body weight. I weighed in at 163 and I did, I believe it was 327. So that was awesome. And if you see the video, it went up so easy.
Dude, you looked like you could have had 30 more pounds on that bar.
It was awesome. So then I saw the world record was, I think it was 336. So I attempted the world record and I did 337.9, I believe that's what I did. Anyway, I broke the world record for a 50-year-old. So that was unbelievable.
For a raw lift.
Yeah, raw lift.
This is 100% raw.
Yeah, 100% federation, raw federation,
right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because we used to do a lot of sponsoring
I met you guys.
Of that. That's how you first met.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go back to like 04, 05, 2000, you know, 2004, 2005, back before I officially worked for Critical Bench, you know, I'm a childhood friend of the founder, Mike Westerdahl. We grew up together playing high school football, we were just always close. And he would just kind of pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, I'm sponsoring a meet up, you know, in Orlando or up in Virginia or, you know, whatever. Would you want to just come and hang out? I'll pay for everything. You know, you just come, we get to hang out, we get to go to the meet, and spot, yeah, you know, fun. And we got our Critical Bench banners up and stuff,
yeah,
you know, and
it was
so much fun. But I always had a tremendous amount of respect for the raw lifters, because, you know, they're not, for anyone listening who's not sure what we're talking about, raw or using equipment, when you work with very heavy loads, a lot of people will use a certain amount of equipment to help them in the lift, to facilitate the lift, to be able to stretch the limits of their ability, you know, whether you're wearing a bench shirt or, you know, all the wraps around this, that, and the other body part. When you're in the 100% raw, it's just you and the weight.
Yep.
At this point, it's you and the weight. There's really nothing helping you anymore, you know, because you can do a great, there's a lot of practice involved, but you can do a substantial more amount of weight wearing a bench shirt.
A lot more. You can do 400. Well, they might do more now, but years ago, they would add 400 pounds just by wearing a bench shirt, you know, the pros. So who knows
right.
how much
like
they
two,
help
like
them.
A two-ply type yeah. shirt or something like that. Yeah. I mean, I remember Mike, he was raw lifting in the low 400s, but then with a lot of practice using a shirt, he was benching in the 600s,
yeah.
you know, with a shirt, which is, you know, I mean, immediately you're 50% stronger if with practice wearing one of these shirts.
Yeah, it's a different sport altogether, yeah.
It's a different sport altogether. So amazing, as a 50-year-old man in 50 Masters, right?
Yeah.
You masterclass, you have a world record for a raw bench press at 337, I think you said.
Yeah, 337 and something. And the funny thing is, I was looking up state records. I think maybe I have a shot at a state record. Who knows? And so I looked at the open, and it was 380. I said, oh, I'll never get that. And I still hold the state record. It was me. I was like, oh, that's my name. So and I showed
you're
my son.
Kidding me, dude.
You know, I was like, look, that's your dad's name. Because he always gives me a hard time because he's 12 now and he doesn't quite understand. You know, he knew what I used to bench and he always says, Dad, you just did 315. It looked hard. Oh my gosh, come on, get strong. You used to be strong. You know, he gives me a hard time. But anyway, it was neat to see I still hold a record in the state record, but it was 380. At 165,
wow.
yeah.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
So
yeah,
then,
that's impressive numbers, man. That's fantastic at that body weight to be able to move that much weight. That's great. I love it.
And then one more thing to the story, which is pretty
yes.
cool. So I also have been training curls because for many years I had a bad wrist. So I've been training curls, and a lot of my buddies do the curls. And one of them has the world record in the 198 class. And anyway, so I entered the curls. I ended up getting a world record in the curls for the old man 50 class. But it's only
same meet,
same day, and the open record itself is only four more pounds. I shouldn't say only, because 4 pounds with curls can be a lot.
Yeah, big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 154, and anyway, I did 150. So I was, you know, I was just shocked and happy and. You know, thankful to God, because even the week before, I could barely even bench 315 at home. You know, so I was blessed. It was a good day. It was a good day.
Wow, man. Yeah, that's a great day right there. And then, again, the strict curl competition. This isn't just like swinging the bar
no,
up.
No, it's strict.
Take us through. I think a lot of people can visualize, like, you know, the bench press. You know, you're laying on a bench, you got the bar, you bring it down to the chest, you press it out clean, which if you go on John, we're going to share his Instagram handle here a little bit later so you can go and watch that video, which I watched multiple times.
Cool.
And again, he looked like he could have easily handled a lot more weight on that press. A strict curl Describe what that a strict curl looks like. It's a much different setup.
So yeah, so they have a platform, which is kind of like the bench press, but it's standing straight up. So same right. as a wall, and your butt and your back has to stay on that wall, and your feet can only come out so far. They have a line that you can't cross, and so wide. And your legs have to be straight. So it's super strict curl, which is a good thing because it's easier for them to judge if you mess up. And
right.
you hold the weight, and they say curl, and then you got to hold it. And you got to hold it up there for a couple seconds until they say down. And then when they say down, you still got to hold it till they say rack. And right. it's really strict, but it's fun, especially being a bencher. Now I got, I was like, well, now I got something I can really get into, but since I did pretty good at benching, I can't give that up yet. So, anyway, I got two things I'm having fun with.
Our team would like to thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. And if you're enjoying today's show, please share this episode with at least one friend or family member who will benefit from this message. And please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. That's strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
What would you say were the main catalysts in you, getting to the point you're at today from where you were 5 years ago? Take us through what, the mentality you had to have, the consistency and dedication in your training, what that path looked like. Give us a snapshot of that 5-year period.
Besides, of course, me personally having faith in God and building strength from the Bible, His Word. Okay, so besides that, that's the most important thing. I look at it, and this sounds funny, but this is how it works for me. You got to look at it like it's life and death, like it's so important. Let's say you want to get a certain number of bench press. Let's say you're only benching 200 pounds and you want to get 250. So what I did and do is like, I have to get that. I make it a priority. So when you're training and it hurts, you can't worry about the pain. If it's not injuring you, this is how I think, then do it. It's just pain. Because there is a difference between when you're injuring yourself from lifting and you stop. But when it's just pain because your nerves are shot, or you're old, or you have no more fluid in your spine, or whatever, you got to keep training to get to that goal you want to get to. So I had that kind of mentality of like a pit bull. They don't care what they fight. They're going to fight till they die. So you have that mentality, even though it's silly, because it's just lifting weights. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how everyone, I think, who are great at sports, whether it's golf or bowling, all the greatest people, they probably think like that. And of course the Special Forces Army dudes, that is really life or death. I would think they think like, that's how I think when I train and it hurts and all those years, I just got to keep pushing.
And that's what the greats do. Look at somebody like a Jerry Rice, a Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant, any of these sports legends. What made them so great? What made them great is that every single day when they got up, they were trying to get better.
That's what I think too. Yep.
It's just like it was just they were never satisfied they were at. And
I'm sorry, people I think will think because they've told me this is, you got good genetics, or oh man, you're lucky, you're naturally strong. That's not true. So people might think, oh, Michael Jordan's just a good basket. He was born that way. No, them guys train just like you just said every day.
It is, man, and they have their bad days. You don't think they had a bad moment, a bad day, a bad practice? Felt like, they just didn't. They came up empty. They came up short. They didn't lay it on the line. Whatever. But you know what they did? They got up earlier the next day, and they got in an extra 100 foul shots, and they got in an extra X amount of layups, or suicides, or whatever. Whatever it was in the training that got them to shake that stinking thinking,
Right.
Because you can't live there. If you want to be great at anything, or like in your case, you were great and then you had a, you know, a major catastrophic type event, and then you weren't satisfied with just, all right, well, I guess this is what life looks like now forever. It's like, no, it doesn't have to look like that. There was one doctor that believes that I could find a way back.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with the one guy instead of the other four, and then look where you are right now. So that's it's such a great story, because oftentimes in life, depending on who we're getting feedback from, right, it might not always be the best,
right,
message that we need to hear. So it's good to be able to find out from other people, to lean on different people, and to get different perspective, different points of view, because you might not be where you are right now had you just met with those four guys and not that fifth guy. Who knows? Maybe exactly. You say, you know what, maybe that's not for me anymore.
Because yeah, I was already thinking, yeah, you know, I don't need this pain no more. I'm done competing for now. And my son, like I said, he's 12. He wants.
Yeah, and he has video too now. I've seen, which is fantastic.
If he didn't want to enter this competition because of this virus, now before this virus, don't get me wrong, I have faith, okay, but I'm not a perfect person. Before the virus, I was a germaphobe anyway. Guys would come to the gym, my friends, I was like, you got a cold? And they'd be like, yeah. I was like, I'm going home, and I'd leave, okay? So that's how I was before. So being that the virus is now, I probably wouldn't have entered the competition, but being that my son wanted to enter, I knew, well, I'm going to enter. So, that motivated me too. So that was a big help. And yeah, he went and he didn't just set state records. He actually broke some. So, you know, that's important to know that it just wasn't a freebie. But yeah, he broke some state records. So
that's fantastic. And he, and at what age is he now again?
He's 12.
12 years old, yeah. And he's following in dad's footsteps.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty
I
cool.
Love
or,
it, man.
And
that's
moms.
It.
And moms.
Oh, well, and moms right, too. Yeah. Now share a little bit about this. This is a bit of a family thing. Go in a little bit of the backstory. How you came, to become familiar with our brand, with Critical Bench, and your wife's journey.
Okay, so the wife. Okay, me and my buddy, John Jackson, same guy I mentioned before. We would read the powerlifting magazines and see how strong these people were. Now, we didn't understand about bench shirts at the time. So we were seeing crazy numbers. So I said, man, I want to go to a competition. I want to lift. I could care less if we look silly. Let's go find out how these guys are so strong. So me and him were going to go. For whatever reason, he couldn't go that time. So me and the wife went, and I convinced the wife to enter. So she entered. And she ended up benching that day 110, which was a USAPL state record, and was good for her body weight. And because a lot of women came up and said, hey, you're a good bencher. And you know, this was our first meet. So that's how she got started. And then another thing, so I work for Bang Energy, right, which is a dream come true job. So all the powerlifting got me hooked up to know the owner of the guy who invented Bang Energy. And before he invented the drink Bang Energy, he had a supplement company called VPX Sports. And he had a store okay. In Florida I used to order supplements from, but I didn't know him personally yet. So the wife got noticed by someone who works for VPX Sports. This was years ago, maybe 15 or 10 years ago, a long, long time ago. And they wanted her to come and be what's known now as a Bang girl, but then it was like VPX. And the wife, being so shy and modest, she's like, no, but I would wear the clothes and I'll take pictures. And this is back when it was just MySpace. There was no Facebook or nothing yet. So anyway, long story short, so that's how I got to become friends with Jack Owok, the inventor of Bang Energy, before he made Bang Energy. So then wow. Now, as you probably know, his company is blown up. It's awesome.
Unbelievable.
And
huge.
I was a DJ, but I'm a music producer. So he invited me down a couple years ago just to hang out and stuff. And I approached him and said, let me make music for you for the company. Long story short, again, I work full time. I make music for the company and I promote the products and stuff. So back to the wife. If it wouldn't have been for Carrie, my wife, who has world records in 100% raw, I would never have gotten in contact with VPX and Bang Energy. But the wife
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So the reason the wife's been out of commission, she had a car accident about 2 years ago that really hurt her neck. So as of right now, she's not even able to lift weights or compete. I don't want to be negative, but right now she can't do that stuff. But yeah, so we all hold records right now. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. I love it. Well, I'll pray for your wife, Carrie, to try and get her on the mend, man. Yeah. I know, yes, like a car accident, man, can be an awful thing on the spine, whether it's up in the neck or in the lower back or whatever, and it can wreck you to the point where doing just about anything is hard, or that's what I'm saying. It comes with a great amount of pain and discomfort on a daily basis. So I hope she's able to get past that and get the help that she needs, man. I'd love her to be able to. Does she see herself trying to get back into some level of competition at some point, maybe?
Honestly,
or is there any hope?
She doesn't, but does she want to? Whole bunch she wants to.
Okay.
Does she think so? Like right now, today? No. If you asked her today, she'd be sad. So no, I'll never be able to. But does she want to? Yes.
Yes.
Now, do I have hope for? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Of course, I mean, look what I did. You know what I mean?
I know
You know.
That's right. Yeah. She's got her own inspirational story right in the same bedroom.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. To help our show reach more listeners just like you, please let us know how we've changed your life by leaving a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. That's strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
What's the future look like now for you in terms of continued recovery, continued progressions, being smart, being a lifter on the plus side of 50?
Well, my goal now is I want to try and get another world belt at the 100% Raw Federation, because as far as I understand, you can only get them at Worlds, and you have to win that competition, kind of like the Super Bowl. You have to win that game to get that ring. So you don't necessarily have to break a world record, but you have to win that event that day. So if like 20 other 50-year-old men show up, I got to beat them to get that belt. Anyway, I would like to get another belt. That would just be cool. Also, the strict curl, I like to see what I can. I've only been training for, not a full year. I want to see what I can do at the strict curl, because you've probably heard or seen Instagram that the other group, Strict Curl Nation, I believe that's what it's called, Strict Curl Nation. But anyway, they're holding events, and they're going to hold a big event at Arnold's when Arnold's does happen. So that would be fun to do that event at Arnold's, because Arnold's is humongous.
Oh, Arnold Sports Festival is the biggest sporting competition that exists. It's unbelievable. Like there's like everything, and that's usually around March or so.
It's usually around March, but I'm thinking because they didn't have it because of the virus.
Right.
I'm thinking they got to be smart. They got to have common sense, and maybe they'll have it this coming spring or summer instead of March, when that's when the colds and stuff are happening. So
yeah, maybe they'll just push it or something, but eventually get back to having it again.
Yeah,
which would be great. But I know it's unbelievable. It's a huge draw. It's typically it's in is it in Columbus?
Yeah,
isn't that where it is?
Yeah,
typically?
I went like
Columbus,
2 years
Ohio?
Ago with
yep.
With the company Bang, and it was cool.
Yeah.
They had everything. Martial arts, bench press.
Oh, it's amazing. I personally have never attended, but we've sent people there over the years to report and to interview and do pictures and stuff, and it's it always blows my mind how much is going on over that,
like, too many people.
4 day stretch. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It draws hundreds of thousands of people over like a 4 day period. It's unbelievable.
And I'm also thinking, I haven't approached them yet, but I'm also thinking of asking Bang Energy to help hold a big, I want to do a big curl and bench press only meet. And I got an idea of near me in Northern Virginia, and have Bang Energy sponsor it and have good prizes for like maybe first through third.
Yeah.
And like maybe the bench press thing, you know, just do a pound for pound type thing, and the curl pound for that way, you know, there's just only a couple winners. But I don't know, that's just an idea I would like to do or have them do.
Certainly. Well, geez, I mean, it sounds like you know the right people over there.
Yeah.
So. maybe you can make that happen. That would be fantastic. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
We were at a point here where we were a little bit too addicted to our Bang Energy drink, so we had to taper off just a little bit because they, you know, now they have like 57 flavors. You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, let me show you this. Wait, it's right there. I got one right here, and I need to drink it anyway, real quick. Okay, so this here, my same buddy makes this, you know, inventor of Bang Energy. Try one of these. It's an energy drink, but I don't want to say it's better than Bang Energy because it's totally different than Bang Energy. It has all the real amino acids and stuff. Like, this is a real pre-workout right here, but the Bang Energy in a can, it's not a pre-workout. And we always have to tell people, they use it for a pre-workout. It's not a pre-workout. It's an energy. It makes your brain come awake, but this is a real pre-workout, and it's delicious.
What's that say now?
No fusion.
No fusion. N-double-O fusion.
Yeah.
No fusion, but that's through the Bang company?
Yeah.
That's through that. Yeah.
So try that.
It's just like time. Now, are they marketing that? Are they going hard on that, or is that just kind of just coming out and it's just something they're testing the waters with?
No, it's been out for a while. But it's for, you know, it's for really working out, you know, like hardcore lifting, sports.
Sure, right.
But yeah. But that's good. But I don't drink Bang Energy too much anymore because I drink that, you know, because that has more amino acids and, you know, it's just, and they have all kind of good drinks. I mean, all kinds of good drinks.
All kinds good of stuff. Products. Well, for the lifting community, yeah, I mean, there's a good number of us, a good percentage that indulge in the Monster Energy and Bang and all that stuff because sometimes, you know, you need a little kick in the pants to get going whenever, you know, if your workout's at the end of the day after work or, you know, something like that, or even early in the day sometimes.
And the supplements help a lot. I got to say that. You know, people always will ask
especially
me, they always ask, what do you take? You know, like even 20 years ago, what do you take? Because everyone thinks you're taking that magic pill. But honestly, when you take the right supplements and you take enough of them, it makes a big difference. It's not a magic pill. You still got to put the training in, but it really makes – and especially the older you get, man, I can tell when I don't take all these supplements. When I don't take them, I can tell. Now, when I take them, it's not like I feel awesome, but when I don't take them, I can tell, oh, man, I can tell I'm not taking them. But yeah, but some people always ask. They do help.
It's the same. Same thing with your diet.
It is. It's part of your diet.
It is. It's a supplement to what you're eating. And if your diet stinks, then you probably don't feel great.
Yep.
But when you clean up your diet and you're eating real clean, and your body's getting all the protein it needs and the right fats and the good complex carbs, you're feeling good. I've
so
gone on
better.
My own journey here. Oh my gosh, yeah. The last 3 months, I've dropped almost 20 pounds.
Wow,
my body
awesome.
Composition is changing. I'm trying to just lean out and, you know, get back to a physique that I had back in college, you know, and it's very possible, but it's a discipline thing. It's a consistency thing.
It's so hard, right?
You know,
mentally?
It's a sacrifice thing, right? But once you get into it, once you're there for a little while and you're living, and I'm in like month 4 of really going after this, it does get I'm not going to say it gets easy, but it does get easier. It gets easier to make the harder decisions.
Yeah.
And to deal with to do what you need to do to get the results you're after.
I went through that this last competition. Yeah. I had to lose a few pounds. And so there was a couple of days I'd only eat once. And I actually felt better when I only ate once than when I eat normal, which doesn't make sense, but that's because when I eat normal, sometimes I eat stuff I shouldn't eat.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes a fast, an intermittent fast like that, you know, where you're going a certain period, a certain window of time without eating, it helps your digestive process.
Yeah, I just read
it
that.
Helps.
Yeah.
It helps things just get better. It gives your digestion a break, and then you get this, you know, one big, you know, nutrient dense meal. Typically, and you end up eating actually, typically, like, you know, pretty good food selection, and then you're full because,
yeah,
you know, you're satiated, and then so it's a good thing to have here and there. There's a lot of research and studies out there that indicate that you know, IF, intermittent fasting, and fasting in general, can be very productive for not just digestive health, but energy, for all kinds of things in your body. Because, you know, in this culture that we have here today, we have a tendency, just it's the land of abundance. So we typically overdo.
Yeah,
we're
eat,
overachievers
we eat
in everything, especially eating. That's right.
I kind of tease
everyone's
my family.
Eating.
I tease them. Yeah, I'm just teasing them, but I'm saying it. And I say, you know, that's gluttony. That's lust of the flesh. You know, when I see him eat, like I said, I'm teasing, but you know, I'm speaking the truth at the same time.
That's right.
Those donuts are not helping you. They're hurting you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I eat donuts. I eat pizza. I drink milkshakes. Those are bad for me, and I know that. But, yeah, I tease him all the time that, like you were saying, you know, here in America, we got this – you know, access to eating stuff all the time that we probably shouldn't eat.
That's right. But I mean, for you to look and feel the way you do at your age, it's not just what you're doing in the gym. There's a lot of other stuff.
It's so
that
much
you're doing
diet
that you got to do right. That's exactly right. I mean, you're a pretty lean guy, and you're maintaining you're staying hovering in the 160s.
Well, I'm right now hovering about 163 to 165, but I've been thinking I 100% got 10 to 12 pounds of fat on my belly, 100%. And my wife thinks I'm crazy, but I tell her, if I could get rid of this fat on my belly, because it's doing no good, I would be 148 class. It's like, man, that would be nuts. But she thought it was nuts when I said I'm going to get to 165 when I was like 180 in the morning. She's like, yeah right, whatever.
Yeah.
But it happened. So who knows? Maybe if I could just not eat. – You know what I mean? I could get to 148. Now, I don't know how strong I'd be, but I'd be healthy.
Yeah. Oh, well, no doubt. Well, hey, man, get back in touch with us, and you know, in the coming months or years, and let's see what you're looking like here. I'd be curious for sure. One quick story, just because it's always stuck with me. Earlier on in my career, you can call it, in this world of fitness and health that I found myself in over the last, you know, 20 plus years, I've come across some amazing people. But one of them, a very early mentor of mine by the name of Lloyd Weinstein, and he was a very high-level master's competitor, power lifter, in close to your weight class. He was a probably a little shorter. He was in the 150s, and I remember him training for a world's, you know, masters meet in South Africa back in, I want to say it was 99, and he was at the time, he was in his early 40s, I guess. He was deadlifting and pulling and squatting three times his body weight.
Wow, yeah.
And I just remember, you know, I had never seen somebody that strong at that size before in my life. I just had never seen it. I'd never seen a guy 150 pounds who I towered over, who I outweighed by 50 pounds, lift three times his body weight for reps. Awesome. He was training, getting ready for a meet, doing triples with 450 on his back. And pull. I mean, and he pulled. His numbers are unbelievable. He's into the 500s on both his deadlift and his squat. His bench press was much more modest. It was in like the mid threes, you know, still like 325. Good. Still pretty double darn good for 150. Yeah. That's right. That's what I'm saying. But it always stuck with me because he was so precise with his lifts. He's so technical. He was such a. It was so fun to watch him lift because of how good it looked and how easy he made the weight look, even though I know he was working at max capacity. And it never leaves you when you see somebody that's truly great
yep.
at what they do. It sticks with you and you never forget it. And I've carried that with me, you know, for over 20 years.
That reminds me of I know you've had to hear of him. Will the Chill, the 100% Raw.
Yeah, well,
he was like the best bencher the Federation.
At what point? When was this? What
probably
time
2006,
period?
2008,
okay.
2007.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, because that's back when Mike, you know, with Critical Bench was doing sponsoring some of the Raw stuff. So
and
that
was
name
the other guy,
sounds familiar.
Other guy, I can't think of his name right now, but it was Will, and he was 181.
I remember, there's a big. There was a guy, Rock.
Yeah, that's who I'm trying to think of, his real name. But yes, him. Yeah, him and
him?
So Will would do 485 at 181. Not four, yeah, 485 at 181. It's still the open record. And then the Rock was, I don't know if he made the 242 class, but he did because he was like 222. He almost made 220 class.
He was a big boy.
And
he did
like 600 pounds. I was there watching him, but he might even have a better record than that. But yeah, it was, and he
I got
put
pictures.
His feet on the bench.
Yeah, I got old pictures of him standing with him. Where you know it's like 2005. I got pictures with him at one of the meets that we were at
in Richmond. Was it Richmond? I think I was there because I know Critical Bench was there.
Yeah, it was in Richmond.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
It was in Richmond.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yep. Yeah. Man, them two guys were just awesome to watch.
Yeah, they were great, man. It's fun, man.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Well, hey, man, I love it. I want our listeners to be able to go and see what you're doing. Yeah. Would you share with them your Instagram so they can find you and
let me say
see
exactly
some video?
What it is so I get it right.
Yeah, I do.
And I got two of them.
I have it right here, but I want you to be able to do it.
I got one with my for me as DJ Self, my music, but I still have my workout videos. And then I got one as our powerlifting BMX racing crew, and the Instagram is Raw Dog Crew.
That's right. Raw Dog Crew. That's RAWDOGCREW. So at Raw Dog Crew, you can go and just click. There's a bunch of pictures. There's videos showing strict curls and the meet where he bench double his body weight after recovering from the injury. There's pictures of your kid and video of your kid. There's lots of great stuff here, man. Very inspiring and fun. So I encourage anybody to go check that out. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, appreciate that. And the other one is DJ.self.
DJ.self.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Yep.
Well, John, I really appreciate you, your message, reaching out to us. You know, you don't come across these stories all that often, and it's fantastic. It's a huge testimony to just that not giving in, not giving up, not taking no for an answer, and believing in yourself and tapping into the power of God.
Yeah,
and family, and surrounding yourself with people who do believe in you and do believe that there's another way. So I just really appreciate this message, and it's been so much fun to talk about this with you today and share it with our listeners who I know got a lot out of it.
Cool. I hope so.
I think so. I know so. I know there's somebody on the other end of this conversation that really enjoyed that, and they're going to They're going to check out what you've done, and that's going to change their path a little bit, make their journey a little bit brighter, with a little bit more hope. So thank you so much for your time, John. And thank you, listeners, for, again, for selecting the Strong by Design podcast show. Again, we go out of our way to have these great conversations with guests within our own team here. There's pretty much no topic that we're not willing to talk about. If it's something that you know, deals with your mind, your body, your spirit, life is an amazing journey. I was having this conversation just the other day with my son. He said, "What if you just knew everything when you were young, when you were a baby?" I go, "Buddy, well, that would take the fun out of it. You don't want to know everything. That's the journey is the magic. The journey is what it's all about, not necessarily the destination. And so just enjoy the journey. Whether you're in a valley or on a mountaintop right now, just enjoy the ride. What's the lesson? What can you learn in this season of your life? And just, you know, find a way to get through it, because you will. That's just the way it is, that you will get through it if you believe that you will. So I just thank you so much for taking the time to share or to listen to this. And I would encourage you to share this message with somebody who needs to hear it. And hit that 5-star rating. Give us a review if you could. What's that, buddy?
I just said, yeah, never give up.
Never give up, man. Yeah. Never give up. So I just appreciate that. And you have a great rest of the week, listeners, and a tremendous weekend. And we look forward to providing another episode with you next Wednesday. As always, God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.